Okay. One thing that Mitch had just said is that in Bereshit chapter 1, where it says signs, the Hebrew word is ot, which is aleph tov, which is also a term used for the Messiah. Otot. Okay. Say it again.
It'll be aleph tov tov, because it's otot, it's the plural. But
okay.
The root word is aleph tov.
Which is very interesting, considering Messiah has two comings. Okay, now, and the word for seasons there is mu'adim, which is the word that is used for festivals, appointed times. All right, now, on Tu B'Shevat this year, I should have had this made into a transparency. I didn't think of doing this in black and white. On Tu B'Shevat, which was the 15th day of Shevat, and remember that that is before the intercalated Vedar. Okay, so it's really, you don't have to drop back a month, because we ain't got up to that point. Tu B'Shevat this year was January 23rd. And there was an occurrence that's phenomenal. There was an upright Star of David that was a conglomeration of the planets that was two perfect equilateral triangles making a Star of David. What was more amazing than that is that generally whenever you have, let's say in Jerusalem, that when it aligns, say in Jerusalem, it will align in the New York City, there will be a time span in between. It's like it has to catch up before it aligns perfectly, not off a few yards. But this time, I read this to you. The odds of this, it says, are in the order of 1 billion to 1. An upright Star of David will perfect in Jerusalem at 7:35 p.m. EET, which is Eastern European time, I believe is what we decided last night, which is 17:35 GMT, which is Greenwich Mean Time, on January 23rd, 1997. That is exactly the same time. Within less than 1 second of the time at which the star pattern perfects in New York City. I'll pass this around.
That you're saying was put in unnecessarily? Has it ever been put in unnecessarily before?
Yeah, about once every 1,000 years. It happens. It's not a common occurrence.
And it is done to keep the calendar aligned from the solar aspect? Is that why it's done?
It's done because it mathematically came out this way. It was unnecessary, though.
Because of the lunar calendar.
Right. The original purpose was to keep the lunar calendar aligned with the seasons.
But from the standpoint of the crops.
From the standpoint of crops, this year it should not have been declared. Okay? Now it gets heavy. What you're looking at is another conglomeration of planets. This is the last one that occurred in 5 BCE. The last time it occurred. It has only occurred in history twice. This man, the man that did the work on this, calculated backwards, not forward, calculated backwards, and he carried it out to 41 million years. And at no point would the planets align in two perfect triangles making a Star of David.
Now you said planets of the solar system is what you're talking about here.
That's correct, planets of the solar system. And this occurred in 5 BCE on March 2nd. In that year, at that Passover that came just days after that, there was a lunar eclipse. It is the lunar eclipse that is famous for when King Herod got sick, recorded by Josephus. And it was the Passover at which Yochanan HaMatvil, John the Immerser, was born at that season. Now that's heavy. That's why we put it in color. Okay. Mitch, say that again.
This formation is a symbol that's common in Christian mysticism, where you have a cross inside of a Star of David, and the blue square in the background, that's what it's forming. They've drawn it out as a square, but what it is the four corners are four planets that are 180 degrees of each other, or all four each 90 degrees apart, and it forms a cross in the center of the Star of David.
Let me give you the planets here. You have Mercury, Neptune, Mars, Pluto, and here is the Earth and the Moon, Venus, Jupiter, Saturn, and Uranus. I don't know if I can get color copies. They're about $1 a copy, but we can definitely get you a black and white copy. This was gotten off the internet, and I can't give the address for you to pull up on the internet also. Okay, now, I want to read a passage out of Bamidbar, Numbers, chapter 24 and verse 17. Okay, out of Numbers chapter 24, verse 17, I see him but not now, I behold him but not near. A star shall come out of Yaakov, a scepter shall rise out of Israel, and batter the brow of Moab, and destroy all the sons of Tomit. I'd like to mention that this star is not the Bethlehem star. What you're told about the Bethlehem star is that the Chachamim, the wise men, followed it. This particular pattern, you can, on the website, you can follow the way that the pattern was, like on February 27th, February 28th, March 1st, March 2nd, March 3rd, the way the stars were. It was only on March 2nd that it made a Star of David. Okay, so a perfect Star of David. Yes?
Is this like looking above the solar system now? That's the plane?
I can't hear you, Mitch. What'd you say?
The sun is the center.
The sun is the center?
You're looking down and it makes this pattern?
Is that right? You're looking down and it makes that pattern?
I don't know if we're on a two-dimensional plane. They may not be in a two-dimensional frame, but if you could have gotten a perspective from above, that's what it would have looked like. Now, whether they were in a two-dimensional plane or not,
I'm thinking if that happened that way, he's probably only talking about angles, because there's no way you can have a planet at each point and make a perfect.
Make a perfect. I can't answer that. Okay. I would also have one more note on this. That whatever the reason, there was a reason for that conglomeration of the planets occurring in the year 5 BCE. And I believe that significant events were about to happen. I mean, I know significant events were about to happen. I don't know what the meaning of it is this year. All that I know is that it occurred this year. And it's something to be aware of, to not get like a space cadet over, but at the same time, to be aware of and to take it in stride. Okay, let's go back into Yehezkel. I'll say this as you're turning there. I would look at this Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and Sukkot. I'm not trying to say that the birth pains of the Messiah will start this Rosh Hashanah. I'm just saying that I would look at that, those particular festivals for significant events. Okay? All right. On the comment, visions of God. The word, and I want you to write these down as I give them to you. The word for visions of God is Mar'ot, M-A-R-O-T, Mar'ot Elohim, which means literally divine visions or great visions. Now, it is significant that the word is Mar'ot rather than Moray. Moray means vision. Mar'ot means visions in the plural. It does not mean more than one vision. In Hebrew, what it means is blurred vision. Blurred vision. Yeah, like double vision. There is a dictum of the sages that all the prophets, with the exception of Moshe, that I'm going to spell this for you first in Hebrew. You can copy it down and then we'll pronounce it. I-S, and you can put a dash, F-E-K dash L-A L-A-R A-H, or just A, just A, no H. New word, S-H apostrophe A-I N-A-H. Then, last word, M apostrophe I-R-A-H. Isfak Lara Shana Mara, which is a speculum which is not lucid. A speculum which is not lucid. Now give me a moment and I'm going to give you a few more things on this. I want you to turn in your Bible to the book of Hosea, chapter 12. We'll go to the 11th verse. Hosea chapter 12, verse 11. It's going to be verse 10, and that's verse 11 out of a Tanakh, verse 10 out of a Gentile published Bible. I've also spoken by the prophets and have multiplied visions. I've given symbols through the witness of the prophets. Where you see multiplied visions, it is exactly the same word. Now hold on, I do have some commentary that I want to get to. Okay, I'm sorry that it took me a moment. These little papers have a little thing. It was covering up what I was looking for. The commentary that I'm going to read to you is out of the Judaica Press, the book of Ezekiel, volume 1. And it's where they're commenting on the visions of God, the Marot, and is basically the same thing that we read out of the art scroll, but it has just a few extra words. It says, because he did not see with a lucid speculum, or glass, he calls it visions of God, a sort of dream, insubstantial. All the prophets also saw through a dim speculum, except for our teacher Moses. That is what is said, Hosea 12:11, and to the prophets I assumed likenesses. Okay, now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians in chapter 13. Which you have this same phrasing being used in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12. For now we see in a mirror, dimly, but then face to face. That Moses was the only one that up to that time had seen clearly. We all see dimly through a darkened vision. We are not able to define it exactly right. Now, biblical research can drive you crazy. Okay? I don't mean that in a bad way. Daryl and I were talking on the way over here. This lady had called the office, and she had asked Daryl to send her some information on the stones of the breastplate. And so he sent her this information from the Temple Institute, and then she got information from other places, and everything contradicted. Okay? There's nothing new under the sun. This is the way that biblical research is done. Okay? The Hebrew words that were used for the stones, by the time of the first century Common Era, they didn't know what they were. It's not only that they translated into English incorrectly, they're translated into any language incorrectly. Okay, so when you see a jasper stone, it is not the jasper that we call a jasper. It is what they just put. There was a name of a stone, they put a name. It is the same problem whether you're a rabbi or whether you're a student. Whether you're a Gentile or whether you're a Jew, it's the same problem. The Temple Institute has spent years making it a top priority to research the stones of the breastplate. And they feel that they have arrived at those stones now, after all types of resources being looked into, all this time spent, men that are very, very knowledgeable in these things. It took them years and years and years to be able, and it is still a matter of question on some of them. So, we see through a glass darkly. We are not able to see it and say, okay, this is that. This is the way that it is. Kind of like Walter Cronkite, and that's the way it is, okay? Now, when Yeshua came, the people were amazed because he didn't speak like the rabbis. He spoke with authority. He had an edge. He didn't see through a glass darkly. He saw face to face. He spoke with understanding and with clarity. Okay, now let's go to the next verse.
Excuse me, Joe. When it mentions that Moshe spoke to God face to face, so that is where they would get the commentary that he did not see through a glass darkly.
That's correct. And there's some excellent midrashim on that. The Paul was obviously quoting. You'll find it, I believe, in the midrashim on Shemot, on Exodus. And it's recorded in the Me'am Lo'ez commentaries. Okay, now we have verse 2. Do y'all believe this? On the fifth day of the month, which was in the fifth year of King Jehoiakim's captivity. Okay, now, King Jehoiakim is going to be in the first diaspora, the first dispersion. There are three dispersions by the Babylonians. He is in the first. This king is only allowed to reign as king for 3 months. So he didn't even get 100 days. Actually, he does. It's 3 months and 11 days. So he gets 101 days. However, Jehoiakim has a curse that's put upon him. We read this when we read the book of Yirmiyahu. But if you'll think about it, there were some pretty remarkable people that went in that first diaspora, that first galut, or the first gola, rather, the first exile. Daniel and his three sidekicks. And, I mean, they're pretty incredible. Now, the rabbis have a very, very interesting insight into this. They said that it was the mercy of God. That God had not intended originally to have three diasporas, but rather to have one. But that out of his mercy, that he came and he took the cream of the crop and carried them off into captivity so that they would be able to establish a firm base of Torah for the weaker ones that would come behind them. Yehezkel was in the first Gola. He was in the first exile. Exactly. They prepared the way for those that would come after.
That's like the first way the Babylonians coming back to.
Right. It's what Daryl said. It's very the first wave of immigrants that came back to Israel. We call these immigrants the Chlutzim. 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 The pioneers. And they came in waves. And it was very remarkable because like your first wave would be farmers. But then your second wave would be teachers. And your third wave would be doctors. And it's not like people went out and said, we need teachers in the land of Israel. They just came. Like the animals of Noah. That they all came at the appointed time. And they each, it's looking back that we're able to see, a pattern that was put together by God. Now, in that first exile, according to 2 Kings 24, verse 14, there were 10,000 that were carried away. And we're told that they were all the princes, the Sarim, S-A-R-I-M, the Sarim, and all the warriors. In addition, and I want you to write these words down, we have all the, and I'm going to spell it first, H-E-C-H-A-R-A-S-H. H-E-C-H-A-R-A-S-H.
And what is that?
Now that's pronounced as one syllable. Okay? That's Hikarash. Hikarash. Okay, I'm gonna give you another word, and then I'll give you the translation. Okay, the apostrophe H-A-M-A-S hyphen G-A-I-R. Don't need that again. Okay, it is the word Hikarash Ve Hamas Masgar, which is the carpenters and the locksmiths. Right, the carpenters is your first word, Hikarash.
The other, if you look that up in the concordance, it'll be, it'll just translate out as carpenter and locksmith or smith.
That's right. It will translate out that way. It is, that's literally what the word means, is a carpenter or a locksmith. How the carpenters and the locksmiths of this Gola were seen, though, is very interesting. Do what? What the rabbis call carpenters, okay? That's right. The rabbis called carpenters rabbis, or sages. Okay, the Harash, the carpenters, and the Misgar, the locksmiths, mentioned in 2 Kings 24:14, were no ordinary workers. The sages, this is from the Sifrei to Deuteronomy 32, verse 25, identify them as the greatest Talmudei Hachamim, teachers of Torah, or sages of Torah. In the nation, they silence everyone who wants to argue with them. The root harash denotes silence as well as carpentry. Please remember that. Harash means silence as well as carpentry. Silence. Okay, as well as carpentry, with their brilliance. And when they spoke, everyone else would close his mouth. It's kind of like E.F. Hutton speaks. Okay? How much time do I have? Okay, cigar, to close, hence also the root of locksmith, in order to listen. Thus it was the elite of Yehuda who first descended to Babylon, leaving the untutored masses behind. I want to read to you another excerpt here. The sages in Gittin 88:8. You might want to write this down because this will have to deal with Yeshua. The reference, G-I-T-T-I-N, means it's from the Babylonian Talmud. Explain why God's providence decreed that the finest sons of Judah be exiled first. On the verse in Daniel 9:14, and God hastened the evil and brought it about because he is righteous. They ask why it is deemed righteous to hasten evil. The answer is given. God acted charitably with Israel, and that Zedekiah's exile came about while Jehoiakim's exile was still in existence. The ultimate destruction of the Holy Temple was pushed forward by 2 years, so that the masses of Zedekiah's exile would find an established Torah community in Babylon. Thus, the Galut Yechoniah, or Yehoiachin, was the cornerstone of the great Jewish community which was to flourish in Babylon. Okay, now, when we read in the Gospels that Yeshua was the son of the carpenter, we can't be dogmatic. We can't say that, well, that means that Joseph was a rabbi or a sage. But there is the possibility that that's what it means. Okay, so people come along and say, well, where do you find that? That's why I want to give you the references. Okay? So we'll stop here and we'll pick up here after the break. What was the reference?